There is a passage in the Psalms which I find delightful and intriguing. I want to quote the section and then kind of give you the little background and how it strikes me, how I read it, how I understand it. And it's in Psalm 147, almost at the very end of the book of Psalms. And in the middle of that chapter, chapter 147, is an interesting passage. Let me read it. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. That's verse 10. And first of all, let's try to decide what he's saying here in these descriptions of a man and a horse. And I want to take them in the order that he's written them, and that's the horse. So God does not delight in the strength of the horse. Now today we're very far from an agrarian society, so we've lost some of the comprehension of this. But think of it this way. To the ancient peoples, certainly the people who were alive at the time this was written, the horse was the machine of that day. It was the convenience device. You know, it was equal to, you know, the mixer or the microwave or the machinery in the factory. You know, the horse was it represented the aid that a man could create to make his life better. And of course, you know that. Even until fairly recent times, the horse was still used for farming. And of course, when the industrial age came upon us, we had all these machines and machinery to do things for us, and to a large degree, they replaced the horse. They pushed the horse out of the picture. Not completely, but almost. And even today we see that. So then what is the writer saying here? He's saying that the things that man can produce to make his life better, or more productive, or more powerful, as in war. In fact, in this time this was written, probably the most dramatic example of the utility of the horse would be in battle, in war. So what is God saying? He's saying that he is not impressed with the things that man has been able to come up with, you know, to extend his power, to extend his impact, to extend his usefulness, to extend his control over his environment. Well, that's pretty neat. But let's look at the other half of that verse, because there's more. The other half says, he does not take pleasure in the legs of a man. So we see two things. The horse, which represents the extension of man's ability and consciousness and intellect and wit. And then we see God zeroing in on the man himself. God says, you know, I'm not impressed. God says, I don't find a lot to be impressed by. I don't think much of, in the grand scheme of things, of how much man can produce and exert his influence. And I don't even think much of the man himself. I don't think much of the man himself, he says. The legs of a man. The legs of a man, that means, you know, the ability of the human body, the resourcefulness and resource and power and strength of the man himself. So he began with the things that man has done to extend his influence, and then he zeroes in on the ability and influence and relativity of the man himself. Now you're saying, so what? Okay. Now let's get a little bit bigger picture. And let's look at the context. And the context is really pretty interesting. The context of this chapter, chapter 147. And it's essentially about God's works. Ah, so now we see the backdrop of what God is saying about what man can produce and what man himself is capable of. And he says here, the writer says, let's start with verse 3. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars and gives names to all of them. So God looks after the lowly, and in the same breath, almost, the writer is saying, but God is so exalted and so high that he is intimate with the stars. He counts the number of the stars and gives names to all of them. Great is our Lord and abundant in strength and understanding. His understanding is infinite. Then he says, the Lord supports the afflicted and brings down the wicked to the ground. God is in control. It may not always seem like it, but he is. He's in control. Now it gets even more interesting. Verse 8, he covers the heaven with clouds and provides rain for the earth. He makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives the beast, the animal, its food, and to the young ravens which cry. And then if we skip over our passage at verse 10, we can see some more. It says here, verse 15, he sends forth his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts forth his ice as fragments. Who can stand before his cold? He sends forth his word and melts them. The power of God. The control of God. The provision that God gives his creation. Now do you see the context? So in the midst of all that, go back to verse 10, he does not delight in the strength of the horse. He says, you know, I control all these things, and I give mercy to men, and I make the world work, and I have control over it. And you know, I don't think someone who's going to rely only on what he can invent, I don't think that man's very faithful. I don't think that man understands me. And then he zeroes in on the man himself. He says even his own arms and legs and his own energy and his own youthfulness and vigor, it's nothing. It's nothing in contrast to my power and my resourcefulness and my provision. And that is something to think about.